Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Welcome. This is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the 2018 film Black Panther,
a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, it is. And I am so excited about talking about a Marvel movie from 3 years ago, because that means there aren't as many left as when we started this adventure.
It's true.
I was telling Jason, it looks like phase four is mostly TV shows.
Yep. The fourth phase four movie is coming out.
So that's
in a month.
Let's see. Black Widow, mm-hmm. Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
What was the
Eternals?
Eternals, okay. And then
Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh, it took me this long to figure out all the Spider-Mans have home in the title.
It's true.
Yeah, so we could have the whole Ozzy Osbourne Spider-Man collab we wanted called Spider-Man Home Sweet Home.
That's Motley Crue.
You could have Macaulay Culkin and Spider-Man Home Alone.
Ozzy Osbourne is Mama, I'm Coming Home.
Ah, there we go. Okay. God, maybe I'm thinking of No More Tears. But nope, you're right. Yeah. Okay, so, well, welcome. This is Eric. I don't know what I'm talking about, which is not unusual. But that's okay. So,
it's a hallmark.
Yeah, so Black Panther.
Should have started this episode with a quiz. It always works out really well.
Yeah, there you go. So, Brother Jay, first of all, welcome to Anchorage. We're all in different houses still, but next week, maybe a week after or something, we'll all be together.
We're in the same area code.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like the mid-90s.
So, Brother Jay, welcome to Anchorage, and this is the first time you've seen Black Panther.
Yes.
What did you think of Black Panther?
I actually liked it.
Yes!
Sweet.
We finally got one!
So, Drew, you're the reason for the season. Tell me everything you know about Black Panther. First time this time.
Well, this is why his children call him Baba.
My children were 7 and 6 when this came out.
I know. It's just
too yeah, Black Panther. The next movie, it's the first... solo movie for Black Panther, who we saw in Civil War. So it's kind of half origin, half continuation of that story. One of the best villains, I think, in the Marvel movies so far, with Killmonger.
Yeah.
I thought Michael B. Jordan was great. He's really like a really charismatic villain for a change. Probably one of the first who actually has a decent point of view. You can't really get on board with his methods, but you can certainly get behind some of his philosophy.
Yes. He's no Baron Zemo.
more to come on him later. You know, there's a whole meme about Zemo dancing in a nightclub, right?
Negative.
Phase 4 TV. It's coming up.
Okay. Is that in Loki?
No.
Okay. Tell me there's not a series called Zemo.
I'm not saying anything right now. But yeah, Black Panther. It truly was a cultural phenomenon. You know, the first black solo superhero movie. You know, we're not really the right guys to speak about that, but it was certainly a thing. I believe this is a $1 billion+ movie, right?
Yeah. One of the only ones and one of the first ones.
Mm-hmm. Certainly the only solo, like, non-team-up movie.
Yeah.
And this truly was a solo story. There were no other Avengers in this movie. They referenced some of them. But this really was all about Black Panther, and it was really a showcase for Chadwick Boseman and Michael B. Jordan. I didn't know what to expect coming into it story wise. The first time I saw it, so I kind of let it wash over me. I quite enjoyed it. It wasn't quite what I was expecting. I thought all of the characters were really good and well realized. The final fight was kind of an unfortunate CGI fest.
Yes.
That's really the only bummer I find in this movie. But everything before that I thought was really compelling. Andy Serkis is wild in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I would love to find out if that was all him or if he was directed to to be that nuts.
He seems like he's having the best of times, though.
Mm-hmm. Everybody seemed to be having a really good time.
Yeah,
it's
well,
good to see some Korea in this movie.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, first time I've seen Busan without zombies.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's not having a good time in this movie?
Who?
Black Panther.
That's true.
Yeah, like T'Challa is a kind of a wet blanket. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's great. He's got things to do. Heavy as the head, all that stuff. But still.
Mm-hmm.
Killmonger doesn't. He's not getting as much enjoyment out of it as, say, Claw.
No, Killmonger has a higher purpose in mind. So he's really on a sort of a parallel path to T'Challa. You know, they're both, you know, feeling the weight of their mandates.
Yeah. So, okay, shall we dive in?
What did you think of this movie?
Thank you. Before I get to me, what did Jesse think about the movie? And what did your parents think about the movie? Because you guys saw it all together, right?
Yes, we watched it together. Jesse and I actually haven't talked about it yet. Dad watched it, so that's the thing. It all the way through, I mean.
Yeah.
And Mom liked it, although she and I both agree the movie was, I liked the movie, but it had some issues and it was pretty preachy in parts.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So I think other than that, I mean, this is Eric and I were in pre-show talking briefly. This is, you know, this is going to be in the top three Marvel movies for me. Number one being Guardians of the Galaxy, and number three, I don't know what is yet.
Nice. I'm going to guess your number three is going to be Shang-Chi.
Could be. I've heard good things. So, and Mom had mentioned that her previous memory of the film was that it was just beautiful. Because it is, as far as, you know, I mean, Wakanda is a beautiful place. And they spend a lot of time. For me, unfortunately, all of the Marvel movies are pretty good looking. Actually, a lot of movies these days are pretty good looking, so it takes a little bit more to impress me on just like how clear and crisp the picture is and whatnot.
Well, also, when you spend $200 million on a film, it's got to look good.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I liked it. I liked the story. Drew's right about being like Killmonger is a much, much more, I guess, sympathetic villain. Than we've seen, like less cartoony.
I don't know if I sympathize. I understand how he ended up where he was at, but I don't know that I have sympathy.
Well, I paraphrased Drew wrong, but it's like he's just a stronger villain and he's less cartoony and he's less like, you know, again, he's not a Bond villain.
I can completely understand how he ended up where he was and how he got there.
Yeah.
You can see the path completely.
Because he was...
Agree with what he wants to do, but I agree with how he feels. Like, that seems... His anger is justified.
Well, and also, he got a shitty deal in life.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, yeah. You know, you can see how that would be, you'd be resentful. So overall, I think, to be honest, I'm interested to see what happens with a lot of the characters coming up, because I thought a lot of the characters were great. But overall, I was a little bit more meh than I was expecting. This was no Ragnarok.
You mean there wasn't the whiplash of funny, serious? You're right.
There was some funny, and there was a lot of serious.
But there wasn't that patronizing, pandering funny.
The line in this movie that makes me laugh every time was actually ad-libbed by Michael B. Jordan.
Which was?
Well, when he's in the throne room and someone finally asks him who he is, and he gives his Wakandan name, and everybody's like, and then he just goes, like, almost under his breath, he goes, "Hey, Auntie."
Yeah. I don't know. I like when let me see here. When Shuri calls out T'Challa's shoes. I thought that was funny.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the whole, as the director described it, the relationship Shuri has with her brother is kind of the heart of the themes of the movie is, how do you put it, tradition versus innovation. T'Challa is all about tradition, and Shuri is all about innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And the path that T'Challa has to go on is to figure out how to bridge the divide to bring Wakanda into the modern world.
Now, I heard in the comics, maybe she becomes the Black Panther?
I believe that's correct, yeah.
Okay. I don't know if that's going to happen in the Marvel Universe, since apparently there's an opening. But pour one out.
Won't be that actress.
Oh no. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I guess Endgame
comes for everyone.
Well, the rumors are the next Black Panther movie is getting shut down, and she might not be coming back.
Oh no.
Because Marvel has a vaccine mandate. She is an anti-vaxxer.
Oh. Well, yeah, you know, got to take a stand, right? Follow your beliefs.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Just make sure your beliefs are founded in science.
Well, there's not a lot.
It's a lot of folly to turn down for what I assume would have been a substantial amount of money.
Ah, but so you're probably already has been paid a substantial amount of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, that whole belief doesn't need science. That's the best part of belief. Yeah, it's great. Anyway.
So I have a question going into this.
Okay.
How the hell did Captain America end up with a vibranium shield?
Ooh. Can I answer?
Mm-hmm.
So Tony Stark and his company stole all of the vibranium that they found in Africa long ago. And this movie sort of... when we're introduced to the whole meteorite vibranium thing, they realize that he just found a little part of it, and they have like a much bigger source of it in Wakanda itself. Howard Stark. Howard Stark is the bad guy in the Wakandan story.
Yeah, they really gloss over how he came across that vibranium in the first Avenger movie. But they did mention that he used all of everything he had to make that shield.
Yeah.
Okay. That was his added question.
So the movie starts. By the way, this movie is directed by Ryan Coogler, who directed Fruitvale Station and Creed. Now,
Creed.
Have you seen Fruitvale Station? Fruitvale Station. Sorry. Have you seen Fruitvale Station?
I have not. It seemed like a downer.
That's how I feel about it. Yeah. It's the story itself is so horrible. That I don't need to. I mean, it's going to be a downer. Yeah. So, I mean, a story that needs to be told. But if you've seen the real video, it's like not. It's no bueno.
Have either of you guys seen Creed?
No.
No.
It might be the like highest quality Rocky movie.
Okay. Eventually, we'll have to watch the original Rocky movie and see if that holds up.
The original?
Yeah.
That movie is a snoozer.
Oh, okay.
It is the Blade Runner of boxing movies.
Okay, then never mind. Then we'll just go right to Rocky 3, 3, 4, and Creed. Will that work for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Anyway, and only 3 because I have such fond memories of 3. Well, much the same way as...
It's great.
Yeah, much the same way I'm sure, Drew, you have the fond memories of 4.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, 3, 4, Creed, and Creed 2.
Okay.
Gotta do it.
All right, we'll put it on the calendar. Jason, do you have fond memories of any of the Rocky movies?
Not particularly.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry for that. Yeah, that's where I met Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's where everybody met Mr. T, right?
I was going to say.
Yeah.
So great. Okay. So the movie begins. A voice from a young boy asked to tell him a story. The adult's voice tells the story of Vibranium, a gigantic meteorite with the toughest metal, Vibranium, crashed into the region of sources of the Nile River millions of years ago, and it affected the plants. This is a shitty plot synopsis. I apologize. Ugh.
Did you guys like this opening with all the graphics? And
yeah, it was fine.
Given the history of Wakanda?
Yeah, I thought it was elegant.
Yeah. I thought the framing device of sort of a bedtime story was a good way to introduce it.
Yes. Yep. I was waiting for Peter Falk at the end to close the book and Fred Savage to say, oh, come on.
And Sterling K. Brown has a great voice. I love his voice.
Oh, yeah. So, was he the adult?
Yes.
Okay. Later, in the Age of Humans, 5 tribes in the land named Wakanda battled for control of that vibranium until a spirit led a certain warrior to find and eat a heart-shaped herb. Affected by the metal, he gained superhuman abilities and became the first Black Panther. 4 of the 5 tribes submit to his power, but 1 tribe wants freedom. The Wakandans use the vibranium to develop highly advanced technology. They see the horrors of other nations and isolated themselves from the rest of the world. They hid and pretended that they are not industrially developed like a third world country. So this is a little on the nose. This is a little bit preachy, though.
How so?
It's all about expand. Isolationism versus like globalism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In Oakland, California, Prince Njubu, Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us and American Crime Story, O.J. Njubu. I'm sorry. By the way, he was not O.J. He was Chris Darden. Vows to share Wakanda's technology with people of African descent around the world in order to help them conquer their oppressors. He enlists black market arms dealer Ulysses Claw, Andy Serkis, to infiltrate Wakanda and remove a cache of vibranium. In 1990,
none of this is known. At this point.
No, you're right. Yeah. But in 1992, King Chaka learns of his brother's actions. He confronts Njubu, who becomes angry and threatens to kill Chaka's loyal friend Zuri, played by Forrest Whitaker, although not in this particular scene when we enter to him.
Yeah, so, we don't find that out until much later.
Yeah. Chaka reluctantly kills Njubu to save Zuri and abandons Njubu's son Eric in order to prevent the Wakandan people from learning the truth. By the way, we don't know that in this first scene either.
No.
Yeah. It's all very matter of fact. Njubu, I'm gonna say all the names wrong and I apologize, it's not on purpose. Njubu is basically setting himself up like the Black Panther Party kind of thing, as far as we know, right? I mean, I didn't see any Wakanda looking weapons.
Right. He wants to be a social revolutionary.
Yeah.
But T'Chaka is coming to bring him back to Wakanda to answer for his crimes of helping to steal vibranium. And that's all we see in this first part. We do get we see them a bit in Civil War, but the Dora Milaje, the bald female warriors, we get to see them in their full red outfits here.
Yes,
and they are storied to be like the fiercest fighters in the world.
Okay, they're the Valkyrie. I interrupted you, Jason.
No, I think the movie actually espoused that.
Yeah, and we get to see them in action later, and they are pretty great.
Yeah.
I think they hold their own against the powered up supervillain at the end of the movie.
And this none movie of them had a lot of strong women.
Yeah.
So, in present day, following Chaka's death at the hands of Helmut Zemo, disguised as the masked James Barnes, his son T'Challa, Chadwick Boseman, from 42 and 21 Bridges, returns to Wakanda to assume the throne. After working with Okoye, who's Daniel Guerrera from The Walking Dead, or sorry, Danae Guerrera from Walking Dead, she plays Michonne, I think, right?
Yes.
Okay. She's a leader of, what did you call them?
The Dora Milaje.
Yes, the Dora Milaje. And she is extracting Chala's ex-lover, Nakia, who is Lupita Nyong'o from Rise of Skywalker, Us, and 12 Years a Slave. And she's an underground assignment.
Rise of Skywalker. Come on.
From, I didn't see the movie. I don't know how big of a role she plays.
She's a voice.
Okay. All right.
For a CGI character.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry. I should pencil her out.
She actually has way more screen time in Force Awakens.
Oh, okay. So she's actually on an undercover assignment in Nigeria's Sambisa Forest. And so they have a nice little action scene there. And Chala reunites with his mother, Queen Romanda, played by Angela Bassett, and his younger sister, Princess Shuri, played by Letitia Wright, from Black Mirror, and a two TV series that are connected. One is called Banana, and one is called Cucumber. Sure. It's about relationships. Kind of heavy LGBT.
Themed?
What did it say? Representation, maybe.
I was really hoping you were going to say bent.
Bet would have been okay, but no, I think it was just heavily represented. How about that? But I haven't seen either of them.
Now for bent cucumbers and bent bananas. But.
Well, that's when we learned what Peyronie's disease was. So Princess Shuri is pretty great. She's poor Ray. It's a shame about Ray. So she's actually a great character. It's too bad that if her real life actress is a nut job, because her character is great. She's sassy and smart, and she's all technological.
She's more technologically advanced than Tony Stark.
Exactly.
But she's actually fairly responsible with her tracking of the technology.
Oh yeah. Well, and you could, that's the thing about the shoes is funny, because you can see that she may be all hidden away in Wakanda, but she still has the internet. Because I think pointing to the shoes and saying, "What are those?" that I think is a meme. Anyway, so at his kingship ceremony, he is T'Challa is challenged for the crown by M'Baku, played by Winston Duke, who plays Hawk in Spencer Confidential. And he's the leader of the fifth tribe, the mountain-dwelling Jabari.
Yeah, you're yada-yadding a lot of great scenery and costumery for the ceremony. Like, each of the different tribes has their own specific look and the way they move and dance.
And have their own animal mask.
Yeah.
It's a lot of your next action.
They're all pretty great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You see Nakia in like her like traditional river tribe garb.
Sure. I don't know. Again, I was bored by all of this sort of shtick in Coming to America, the original one. So maybe that's what I was just reminded of. I mean, they made it a really well fleshed out world, which I appreciate. But I don't know. I think it's worth yada-yadding. So then there's ritual combat, and T'Challa emerges victorious and becomes the new king, but he lets M'Baku live, even though he doesn't have to. Sort of a trait of T'Challa, you know? Fair. That kind of thing. Kind. So back in London, a gang led by Claw, and including an ex-US Black Ops soldier, Eric Stevens, a.k.a. Killmonger, Michael B. Jordan from Creed, steals an ancient Wakandan vibranium axe from a museum. If you don't know, you better ask someone. When the tribal leaders receive word that Claw has resurfaced in South Korea, T'Challa's friend Wakabi, played by Daniel Kaluuya, I'm mispronouncing that. He was like the lead in Get Out and Judas and the Black Messiah, and he was in Sicario. And he's pretty great.
Yes.
So he lost his parents as a result of the dealer's actions. He urges the young monarch to bring him to justice. So T'Challa,
Claw.
I'm sorry.
Yes, you called him the dealer's actions.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. It's shitty plot synopsis, and I apologize. So T'Challa, Okoye, and Nakia plan to intercept Claw in an underground casino in Busan, where he will be selling the axe to an unknown buyer. The plan, however, goes wrong when T'Challa discovers the buyer is CIA agent Everett Ross, played by Martin Freeman, from the Cornetto trilogy, the UK Office, and all the Hobbits. And Claw suspects the deal is a setup.
We saw him in Civil War.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's been in a bunch of Marvel stuff. First little slide into some trivia. Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis were kind of commenting about how they felt on set, much as a lot of like black actors would feel on a traditional movie set, where like they're like, you know, the outsider.
They're the minority.
Yes. And damn it, what did they call themselves? I'm going to have to look it up because it's actually pretty clever and I've forgotten it, and it ticks me off.
So, Jason, what did you think of the casino scene?
It was fine. It gave me some flashbacks of... I just forgot the name of the movie.
James Bond.
No.
That was the one I was thinking of, though.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
I don't know. The
Revenant. Revival.
Titanic?
Inception.
Yes, thank you.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, which Bond movie was it where he ended up in the pit with the Komodo dragons?
Oh, that's the problem, is they all run together now.
Mm-hmm. I was just trying to get Jason to say Quantum of Solace.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so here's the trivia I was looking for. Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis played Bilbo and Gollum, respectively, in the Hobbit trilogy. They were affectionately known on their predominantly black set as the Tolkien White Guys.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a pun worthy of catching your attention.
Yes. Yes. But not worthy of remembering. So it's very sad. Oh, well. Okay. So the deal goes sour. A car chase ensues that culminates in Claw's apprehension. And this is yada yadaing some serious action scenes and stuff.
Quite fun action, I thought. Yeah, like Okoye and Nakia are really fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Is this where we see the first remote control car thing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Not sure I really like that. It was successful, but I'm not sure I liked it, especially at the end when there's a remote control plane.
They really had to stretch themselves quite thin to provide some meaningful stakes for the remote control pilot, right?
Yes. Yes. So, while in CIA custody, though, Claw is rescued by Killmonger, who in my notes is spelled Killminger. So, Ross is seriously injured, saving Nakia in the attack, and rather than pursue Claw, T'Challa takes Ross to Wakanda, where his sister Shuri uses the nation's advanced technology to save Ross's life. Now, this is the point normally in the story where you would take the injured white guy into the village, and then he would later become the white savior that saved everybody.
Right.
Yeah. So.
You would call him the last samurai, even.
You might, yes, exactly. Going clear. Then Killmonger kills Claw and takes his body to Wakanda as a token, revealing his identity as N'Jobu's son to the tribal elders and challenging T'Challa for the throne. Then we have the ritual combat part 2. I think maybe I didn't particularly like the flower part of it.
The herb?
Yeah.
The purple drink?
But the scenes in the spirit realm were pretty great, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was fine. Yeah, but I don't know.
Fine. Killmonger's trip to the spirit realm was heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Killmonger's life is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, arguably, and by the way, Jason, I will point out that other people noticed as well, I do feel worse for Killmonger than I do for Alec Baldwin, especially after Alec Baldwin's interview he gave. I think when we first talk about the accident on the set of Rust, one of the brothers was pretty hard on Mr. Baldwin. I think he might have said something like, he killed somebody. Fuck that guy. And I was like, but it was an accident. It doesn't matter. He killed somebody. Yeah. Okay. Did you guys see the interview he did?
No, I was not interested in watching it.
Oh my God, it was worse than you can imagine. He ends up calling himself the victim, throwing everybody he can under the bus, and blaming the actual victim. Yep, and also claiming not to have pulled the trigger, which it turns out is probably not the case. But again, it's dumb. It was dumb for him to give an interview.
Sounds like somebody who knows it's over.
Oh yeah, it's over. Yeah, yep. I'm sure glad I like. Was it James Alan Johnson, the new guy who does the Trump impressions on SNL? If you've never seen his Trump impression, like his Scooby Doo one, it is so funny.
Sorry, Live is still in the air.
You never seen that guy? Is James Alan Johnson? His impression of Trump. He doesn't look like Trump. And most of his impressions that you see online, like prior to his SNL things, he's just kind of walking around and doing like a selfie video on his cell phone as he's walking around. But what he has is he has the accent sort of, but he has the crazy train of thought that Donald Trump has, where he just kind of bounces from subject to subject to subject. And it is so funny. Yeah, I mean, like, he goes off on Scooby-Doo, but Scooby doesn't really do. Mr. Scooby's getting far too much attention. Anyway, it's very funny. Anyway, okay, so give me a courtesy laugh so I have something to put at the end of the clip.
That's great.
Jason will not give me the satisfaction. Nice. Oh, well. I'll patch it together with stuff I already have. Okay, so
maybe you can add a sock puppet.
Hi. Okay, so blah blah blah.
I wish you had told Shelley to film a reaction video to when she was listening to Peruvian Window.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. Again, it's a heavy assignment to lay on people. We want you to watch this movie twice, and then we want you to listen to our podcast. Anyway, Shelley's funny.
Yeah, great episode of Shelley, by the way.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I still think we're going to get Shelley and Di to talk about Crash. Just with each other. Maybe we'll just set him up and let him talk, and I'll just edit it later. It'd be great. Although, the best part of the Shelley episode came after we stopped recording, where she's like, so when is this coming out? And I said, well, it won't be this week. It'll be next week because I have to edit it and stuff. And she goes, oh, okay, so we've talked for 2.5 hours, so you're going to edit it down to like an hour, hour 20. I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to edit it down to 2 hours and 20 minutes. And sure enough. Yeah. Anyway. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Killmonger kills Claw, goes and challenges T'Challa for the throne. And we have ritual combat where Killmonger triumphs and hurls T'Challa over a waterfall.
After he kills Zuri.
Yes.
Who he remembers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So after ingesting the heart-shaped herb to gain the powers of the Black Panther, Killmonger enacts his father's plan, preparing shipments of Wakandan weapons to be distributed to the Wakandan operatives around the world.
You skip the part where he has all the rest of the herbs burned.
Oh, yeah. No, this yada yada is a bunch of stuff. Because, yeah, this really is yada yada-ing a whole bunch of stuff. Because, yeah, Killmonger, like, everybody's kind of upset. And the Dora the Explorer ladies, they're committed to serving the Black Panther. And since he's the Black Panther, yeah, anyway, they don't like it. but that's what they do.
All right.
But Nakia, Shuri, Ross, and T'Challa's mother, Ramonda, flee to seek the aid of the Jabari and learn M'Baku's men have found that are caring for the comatose T'Challa.
Yeah, you also yada yada the great ancestral plane visit by Killmonger.
Oh yeah,
where he has the conversation with his father, where just like real fathers and sons, they don't actually address the issues head on. They just kind of talk around them.
Yes,
and yeah, and it's great. You get to really get a glimpse of how truly tortured he is by his upbringing and circumstances. And you get why he's so angry and militant, and why his whole perspective is that Wakanda has the means to help oppressed Africans around the world rise up and take control. And he is upset that they have let the folks he considers their brothers and sisters languish under oppressive regimes around the world. And he's going to change all that.
Yeah, which actually seems like a noble goal in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's as noble as the colonials. So, you know. So
Amy laughed out loud in this movie when she called him colonizer.
Yeah. So Nakia steals one of the last heart-shaped herbs before Killmonger.
She steals them before they all get burned.
Killmonger has them all burned, but she steals one. And
her plan is to give it to M'Baku.
Yes. Yep. But don't have to. And actually, M'Baku turns out to be something of a heroic figure, because he could simply take the herb and be the hero if he wanted to, but he has already rescued T'Challa.
His posturing is great, especially with the reveal that they're actually vegetarians.
Well, and this, the other thing they made a point of is, I guess in the comics, that tribe is actually like in the jungle itself, because they're the gorilla tribe. But they decided that was a little on the nose, so instead they made it like a snowy mountain area. Still the gorilla tribe, but
yeah, I believe he is a foe of Black Panthers. He is white gorilla.
Oh, okay. Oh, I get it.
the gorilla tribe that barks like dogs.
Sure. Well, gorillas bark too, don't they? I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say they were more grunts than barks for sure.
Yeah. Well. Anyway.
So how will they ever come up with that herb again if they destroyed them all?
Actually, I think I just realized that they solved my herb problem. They don't have an herb problem anymore. There won't be another Black Panther with superhero powers, because with like super drug powers. Is Snoop Dogg going to be the next Black Panther? Oh, and Shuri, Princess Shuri, could be played by Martha Stewart.
I can't wait for you to make your superhero movie.
Somehow, even though it's a different universe, I'll have to tie it in with the Gotham City Dispatch.
Yes. Who gives a fuck about continuity?
Well, exactly. Rewrite it all, man.
Mm-hmm.
Baron Zemo will definitely make a bigger appearance. Okay, so.
Let's call him Helmet again.
I'm sorry. Helmut. Oh, Helmut, your gravy is so gross. I'm just trying to make Jason spit out his Diet Dr. Pepper. Okay.
Almost.
So.
It was a good attempt.
So, healed by a heart-shaped herb brought by Nakia. What is the herb called? Is it called something?
The heart-shaped herb.
Okay. T'Challa returns to Wakanda to renew his combat with Killmonger for the throne, which has never actually officially been concluded. Stop the steal. I think that was their motto.
Killmonger does what everybody in the throne room wanted T'Challa to do, and just says, uh-uh.
Exactly, yes.
Nope, I'm king now.
Mm-hmm. Since he says no, so Okoye and the Dora the Explorers turn against him, but Killmonger is now wearing the Black Panther armor, the gaudy version that T'Challa didn't want. All of them are Shuri's creation. Again, she's better than Tony Stark. She's like, I like the crazy nano suits.
Yeah, the one he wore in Civil War was his creation.
Was Tony Stark's? Oh, T'Challa's creation. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I see. All right.
He designed that one. Okay. Shuri designed the nano ones.
Okay. And Tony Stark's nano suit has to be kept in a big old briefcase, and Shuri's can be worn. It's the necklace.
Yep.
The cool thing about nano, it's real small, itty bitty. So okay, blah blah blah. So Killmonger is wearing the other Black Panther suit, and he's resist the force with the Border Tribe. And while Shuri, Nakia, and the Jabari battle Wakabi, Ross, piloting a remote jet with Shuri's guidance, shoot down the planes carrying the weapons before they can leave the country. The battle goes poorly for T'Challa's side until M'Baku and the Jabari arrive to support him, thus turning the tide. By the way, it is weird that like the border people kind of sided with Killmonger. I mean, you know, it made for good combat scenes.
It's because of Wakabi, right?
Because of... Well, yeah.
Wakabi's parents were killed by Claw.
Yes.
And he was frustrated that the former king, T'Chaka, never brought Claw to justice. So he was counting on T'Challa to bring Claw to justice. So when T'Challa came back with the CIA agent instead of Claw, he was extremely frustrated. And then Killmonger shows up with a dead Claw.
Mm. Cementing their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Actually having killed Claw.
Oh, yeah. So what did you think about, by the way, people were impressed by Andy Serkis's skills, even though only one part of his body was green screened. It was arm. But they were impressed that he was able to move around like he didn't have an arm. Which, you know, you'd think of all the people in the world, he could do that. What with his familiarity with ping pong balls and movement.
Yeah, he doesn't even get any credit for that.
No. Anyway, so what did you think about the rhinos?
I thought they were fine. Didn't have a problem with the rhinos.
No? Not a hat on a hat?
No.
Okay. All right, so then T'Challa
and Killmonger. Why would we have a problem with the rhinos?
It's just a hat on a hat. Unnecessary. You're just showing off at that point.
I mean, did you not enjoy Shuri's panther gauntlets?
Panther gauntlets. Remind me.
Pew, 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 pew.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I didn't enjoy that. Yeah, I'm good. I don't know. You know, again, it's I don't know why. Because everything about this movie was fine. It just, maybe it hit me at a wrong time or something.
I mean, I enjoyed all the fighting a lot better than the final showdown between the two Black Panthers.
Agreed. Yeah. No. At first I'm like, really? Like the CGI rhinos? But then when you got to the real CGI fighting, it was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Because you're right about that. It's all like they had to do the thing with the train and turning off the suits and I think it was a bit cheesy. But mm-hmm. but yeah, then when in victory, T'Challa is officially restored to the throne. M'Baku is granted a seat on the National Tribal Council to represent his tribe. And T'Challa establishes an embassy and he is rejecting the isolationism of the past Wakandan kings. Now, did they say the United Nations was in someplace else, like in Vienna or something? Is there a United Nations office in any place else, or is it? I thought it was just. I didn't catch that. The UN headquarters is in New York, I know, but maybe there's outlying areas. Yeah, they didn't go to New York to the UN. Was the UN destroyed in some other Marvel movie?
I don't know.
I
mean, yeah. New York was pretty messed up in the Avengers.
That's true. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, you skipped over what was a pretty good final couple scenes with T'Challa and Killmonger. He takes him to see the sunrise.
Oh, yes. Yes. Which is, yeah, that was very touching. Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Very cool.
Offers him a second chance, leading me.
Yeah. And then we have the post-credit scene where it turns out the Winter Soldier, who kind of disappeared after the last Avengers movie, has been in Wakanda. Am I wrong?
Steve took Bucky to Wakanda at the end of Civil War.
Oh, okay.
To put him on ice.
Okay.
Because Bucky couldn't trust himself not to be reactivated.
That's true. They rescued him out of the floating prison, right? Am I confusing all these things? Who is in the floating prison? That was Hawkeye and everything, right?
Hawkeye and Ant-Man and yeah.
Okay.
No, they went right from the final fight with Tony. Steve left with Bucky.
Okay.
Took him to Wakanda, put him on ice until they could figure out how to fix him.
Now,
and then he went back and rescued everybody.
And he's called like the White Wolf or something.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So the next movie you're going to watch is an Avengers movie, right?
Is it?
I thought that was coming up next.
Infinity War?
I think so. Unless there's like Ant-Man and Wasp or something.
Oh, God. I think you're right.
No, I think Ant-Man and the Wasp is after Infinity War.
Okay. And the Ms. Marvel is, or Captain Marvel or whatever, is after Infinity War but before Endgame?
Correct.
Okay. Is there anything else between that?
Let's look.
Okay. I don't know. Again, I think I'm feeling like that when we got toward the end of the James Bond movies, where I was just looking forward to getting to the end of it.
Sorry.
Because we still got to finish the Fast and Furious movies.
Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, Endgame, Spider-Man Far From Home.
Ah.
That is the end of Phase 3.
Cool. And then the there's those four movies we talked about in Phase 4, or three movies, only really, what, one of which we can watch right now? Is Black Widow available generally?
Yeah, we can watch both Black Widow and Shang-Chi.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to those, too. So, yeah. Okay, so...
Yeah, and the Black Widow movie actually takes place between Civil War and Infinity War.
Okay. Yeah, because this movie takes place like one day after Civil War, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometime. A few days to a week. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay. So any other notes, Brother Jay? Do you have any notes? Thoughts from the family or Jesse or yourself?
I haven't heard back from Jesse. Let's see. When Killmonger took the throne and started his little rant, I said, what kind of Trumpian dictatorial bullshit is this? This is all giving me flashbacks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was kind of on the nose. But again, in 2018 and maybe in 2022, you know, it's the world we're living in, man.
But also, I thought it was interesting that they made a big point that he was trained by the CIA.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
That's the sum of my notes.
Okay. And Drew, any other notes?
We haven't really talked about Chadwick Boseman, but I thought he was great. I mean, I am really, truly bummed he died. I would have really looked forward to more Black Panther movies with him.
Yeah,
it's come up recently, especially considering the trouble they're having with the actress who plays Shuri. Kevin Feige made a pronouncement that they would not recast T'Challa, but a lot of folks are wondering if that was the right choice.
Hmm.
Do you think they should recast the character?
Because the Black Panther is not a person, but a title. Well, kind of both.
Well, T'Challa. Yeah, I mean, you can have another Black Panther, but the actual character.
Oh, no, T'Challa. I know. But I'm thinking because you don't have to have T'Challa to have Black Panther, you don't need to recast him. Right. So although who would be the next Black Panther? If it's not Shuri, then it's got to be like Wakabi or one of those guys.
M'Baku.
M'Baku, yeah, maybe. Again, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. It's a bummer. That's a bummer. He was really good. He's actually really good in everything I've seen him in, even in movies that weren't that great, like Message from the King. It was a terrible movie, but he's good in it.
Cool.
Yeah. 21 Bridges.
Yeah. Yeah. You talked about that. He was great in 42. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's a bummer.
Yeah. So let's pour one out for Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah. But I thought everybody in this movie did a really good job. I really like this movie.
Yeah. Brother Jay, your verdict?
Yeah, this was, like I said, this was a likable movie. It's probably B plus, A minus.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. Yeah. So, Drew, was it worth it?
It's no surprise to me that this was a movie that there was a greater likelihood that you would enjoy it, because this is definitely one of the more serious movies.
I appreciated that. I felt like I was being led appropriately as an audience member, as an adult.
Instead of getting the whiplash?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, of course this movie's worth it.
Yeah.
This movie's great.
Nice. So, I dug it too. I mean, again, for some reason I found it less overwhelming than I thought it might be. I was slightly underwhelmed, but I mean, it kept my interest. I did not fall asleep like Blade Runner.
I could tell by the way you gave it sort of a light Kubo treatment going through the plot there.
Yeah, a little bit.
There are a lot of great things in this movie. The action scenes, you know, aside from that last CGI fight, are all pretty creative and pretty good. I love the Dora Milaje. Andy Serkis was a lunatic in a really good way.
Yes.
You know, what they did with the character of Ulysses Klaue in the MCU is really interesting, because he's such a bonkers character in the comic book. So the way they kind of modernized him and made him a little bit more believable was great. I was really surprised they killed him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm bummed they killed Killmonger, because I think he could he would have been an interesting villain to revisit.
Yeah, most definitely.
But the MCU, it's kind of what they do. Their villains are one and done, except for Baron Zemo.
We'll find out. Coming soon, the fourth season of Zemo. Warrior Princess. No, not so much. Okay. So are we on a housekeeping? You know what? I did kind of Kubo the plot. I apologize for that. Although, again, unlike Kubo, I did not fall asleep during this movie. So, by the way, if Jason's audio is a little wonky, it's he's in Studio C. So, you know.
Sounds good to me while we're recording it.
Yeah, it should be fine.
So good.
Yeah, a little room noise, but I'll see what I can do for that. What is that?
Spiked ice. What is spiked ice?
They're vodka otter pops.
Ah, jeez.
Did it say low calorie? What did it say in front?
Yeah, low calorie.
Oh, sweet.
Three watermelon, three screwdriver, three blueberry lemonade, three raspberry.
That is quite the I'm on vacation consumable.
Are you kidding? Don't provide that. Don't provide that to the kids' sleepover. Or end up hitting on one of their brothers. It could be a problem. Yeah.
They'll be asleep in no time.
Yeah, they will. Be hilarious.
I spotted these at the liquor store yesterday, and I had to.
That is weird. Intriguing, though. Can't wait.
Yeah. And have one as soon as we're done.
Interesting.
Come on, those are awesome.
Yeah. What's 66 stand for? Is that
66 calories?
Oh, perfect.
Or less per serving.
Is it six servings per tube?
I don't know. I didn't look.
Tell the trick.
Don't rain in my parade, man.
By the way, listener Connie wants to be on the podcast someday and have like a drunk cast with Jerry.
Oh yeah. Well, except that it won't be a drunk cast as much as it'll be a
Well, yeah.
Spliff cast.
Yeah. Have you heard any of those podcasts that do the Power Hour? Are you familiar with the Power Hour?
No, only in religion.
Every minute for 60 minutes, you take a shot of like beer. So it ends up being like 6 or 8 beers or whatever in an hour. So by an hour, people are pretty toasted and are starting to like take their clothes off and stuff. They've also done a Power Hour with McNuggets. That messed them up. like eating 60
a McNugget a minute.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I have a YouTube video to send you.
Many of them tapped out because they could not do it, and one of them had an extra 10, but he suffered for like 2 weeks.
I bet.
He's like, it was like the worst poisoning he's ever had. Just all those chemicals.
Did the supersize me guy ever actually recover?
I don't know. Wasn't he Me Too'd? I'm sorry. Wasn't he? Well, I don't know. Yeah, sorry. Me Too'd sounds like if somebody did it to him. But for some reason, I think maybe he ran afoul of correct behavior.
Hmm. Speaking of, was it one of you who recommended that I watch The Morning Show?
Yes.
It was not me. But I've heard good things.
I have watched both seasons of The Morning Show.
And you love it.
I haven't watched the second season yet. What do you think of the first season?
Steve Carell's the hero.
The first season was pretty good. I really liked Corey, the Billy Crudup character.
Yeah.
He was great. He was kind of the Andy Serkis of The Morning Show.
Was he a golden god?
he had maybe one of my favorite line readings in recent memory of any movie or TV show. He's like, come on, Fred, it's gonna be great. Chaos is the new cocaine. You don't even need to know the context. It's a great line.
By the way, do you know what the new cocaine is? Cocaine.
It's back.
It's back, baby. It's like, nice. What? Crazy. I mean, not yeah. even necessarily locally. It's just in popular culture, it's back.
Yeah. So the first season of Morning Show was pretty good. It was different. It was not what I expected it to be. I expected it to be like a really light comedy. It's not. No,
it's basically the Matt Lauer story that nobody could tell except in a drama way.
Yeah, but they did not intend, when they were creating the show, they did not intend for it to be the Matt Lauer story. But then Matt Lauer happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good. Second season, no. Second season is bad.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet, though.
Okay. But you had to see it through.
Yeah. Well, yeah. My wife enjoyed it more than I did. But yeah, she's like, her biggest highlight for the second season is that they let Reese Witherspoon be blonde again.
Oh.
That really bothered her in season one. She's like, I don't like the brown hair.
Okay.
But yeah, season two is not good.
Okay.
It's not good.
Good to know.
I will steal myself when I go watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever watch The Newsroom?
I have a couple episodes left, but yes.
Yeah. So you know how The Newsroom like kind of tried to do sort of current events?
Yes. Like Law and Order.
Yeah. But The Newsroom was kind of super preachy about it.
Oh, yeah. It was very Sorkin-esque that way.
Yeah. There's a little bit of that in season two of The Morning Show. Not great. There's a bit of a character assassination for Corey. I don't like it.
We need to see the Aaron Sorkin, Wes Anderson team up. No?
I'm waiting for Drew's head to explode.
I don't dislike Aaron Sorkin as much.
Okay, excellent. No, that's good to know.
Yeah. I mean, A Few Good Men, great movie. I think he directed Molly's Game, right? I like Molly's Game quite a bit.
He writes great dialogue, and of the the Jackass personalities, he's now my favorite over David Mamet. Because David Mamet did a little Eric Clapton turn.
Oh, no. God, man, okay, these old white guys need to get a hold of themselves.
Yeah, actually, that may be unfair to David Mamet. I think just he's just an old Republican. He's not necessarily as racist as Eric Clapton is. But, oh, well.
I was unaware of this.
Have either of you guys started the Beatles documentary yet?
No, but I want to. I've heard it's good.
No, I was not aware.
Oh, Dad's looking forward to it. We shall watch it together.
Are you aware of the crazy technology behind the documentary?
No.
So the footage Peter Jackson had was shot by like some guy with a mono 16 millimeter camera and microphone. So the footage looked like garbage, and it was in mono. So the music was, barely listenable. So he had to go in and use pretty extensive visual effects to clean up the visuals to make it look like it was shot with modern cameras.
Didn't he do a similar thing with the World War One movie? He did.
He did. Okay. Yeah. But even he had to go a step further for this because he had to recreate the audio. So he actually he employed a team to go in and use like AI, like machine learning, and they wrote their own software to pull apart all of the audio, all of the music, like the different layers. So they would pull apart the vocals, they'd pull apart the guitar, so then they could clean up each track and then remix it like you would, like a music producer would, so that it would actually sound decent.
Wow.
So just a crap ton of work went into making it look like a documentary that was just shot normally.
So is it enjoyable?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I understand that John Lennon is a bit of a dick, but maybe we knew that.
Yeah. Well, but not. I've heard not in the ways that you think, like, well, not in the ways where he maybe was rewriting history later.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In later interviews.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I've just heard people kind of talk about how they were surprised that the rest of the band was like really like cool about accommodating Ringo's schedule and whatnot. And they are all kind of pretty dismissive of George generally.
Yeah.
Like George has like the Maharishi or whatever in the corner watching the whole thing. And he's got like sitars that he's going to use. And Paul McCartney's like talking about Mother Mary and all this stuff. Anyway, so.
So where is this documentary?
It's on Disney Plus.
It is.
Yeah. And it's 3 parts, 8 hours total.
Nice.
It's called Get Back by Peter Jackson.
I'll definitely be watching it. Because I watched the, was it the Hulu Paul McCartney thing?
Yeah, McCartney 1, 2, 3.
Was that good? Oh, wait, you were telling me about that, right? Where he goes through and actually says positive things about John Lennon.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was, that one was pretty technical in how they were talking about the music, which I thought was fascinating. Yeah.
It was great. I actually may have borrowed the full stem files from the internet. And
oh, yeah. So I'm talking about that.
Yeah, so I actually play different tracks from the source recording.
So you could remix it yourself.
I could.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, that show was nuts considering he's entirely self-taught. I mean, he is truly like a musical savant.
Like Prince.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fascinating thing was I can hear elements of music like that to a degree, but being able to, now that I have more access, to actually be able to listen to individual tracks is amazing. It just really changes the perspective on the music.
Song Exploder, man. That's used to be a podcast, and now it's a Netflix series, I think. That's what they do, is they take it all down to the stems and show you how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway. So, any other housekeeping? We don't have to have any. I mean, Jason's in town for the holiday, which is great.
Yeah. I'm getting my booster tomorrow.
Nice.
Ooh. Happy about that.
Cool.
My kids have two doses now.
Sweet. Journey's eligible for her second on Saturday.
Right on.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. And it actually worked out great. Like, she's game for it. She's not looking forward to it, but she's certainly not afraid of it anymore, which is nice. Because after the tooth thing, it was looking kind of grim there. But no. Anyway. Okay.
What's so the tooth thing?
Well, you know, that we had to, instead of having an outpatient surgery in the office, right. We had to have, like, well, she wasn't inpatient, but she was at the hospital for, was it 8 times the amount of money? Yeah.
kids are great.
Aren't they? Oh, well, it all worked out. So
I've got my little one has a tooth that she needs to get out. Mm-hmm. It's loose, and the adult one is already coming in behind it.
Yeah.
And she's already her mouth is already a mess. She's all of our health savings are going to be spent on orthodontia for her.
Yeah. Poor thing.
Yeah. And so she's like, we're just like, get it out. And she's like, I can't get it. I'm like, you are not motivated enough. I was like, I'm just going to go in there with some pliers. She's like, can you? and then we were like in this game of chicken that ended up with me with pliers on the tooth. Like, do you really want me to? She's like, yeah. I was like, oh, fine. You win.
That's hilarious.
She wanted to do it though. She tried to pull out her tooth with pliers.
Nice. Couldn't get them.
Well, you know, boyfriend Jesse brought his little RC car.
I was gonna say. Yeah, string.
Yeah.
She could even drive it.
Yeah, herself. It'd be great. Yeah. Oh, that would be
fantastic. It's got snow tires. The thing is amazing.
Oh, I bet you Kaya's going to love that.
How are you doing with Kaya?
Fine. I am 100% less chew toy this visit, so that's good.
Sweet, yeah.
She's constantly licking Jesse, so that's not my problem.
Yeah, it happens. So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here. Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe rambling. That's a brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey. Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.